We are delighted that this week's episode is sponsored by The Animal Guys, who tour the UK and Europe educating audiences about all creatures, great and small.
Having just completed a sellout theatre tour, what makes The Animal Guys different is they've developed an entire show that involves no live animals.
They truly believe in learning through laughter and educating families today so that we can save the animals of tomorrow.
To find out more and for tickets to their tour, just Google The Animal Guys.
I never considered that going to university would make my mum feel like she'd been abandoned.
I think that Hunter going to uni actually affected you a lot more than you thought it would. As in, obviously, I know that when I went to university, I think that you were quite affected by it, but obviously you still had Hunter at home, and also I was only 3 hours away, right? So like, you knew that you could come and visit me or I could come home, even though I didn't that much, but I still obviously kept in touch with you and we weren't that far away if needed.
Yeah.
Whereas I think obviously for Hunter, it was your youngest going, and on top of that, it was also that thing of if you wanted to just nip and see him, he was like an 8 hour flight or 7 hour flight away, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think when Hunter went to university, I did feel abandoned, and it's ridiculous because, you know, all through his life and yours, both of you, you know, that's what I'm doing. As a parent, I'm preparing you both for that moment of sort of fleeing the nest, to be able to go to university, to be able to live your life, to be able to travel. And yet here I was dropping Hunter off at university and I literally just felt, literally that, abandoned. It's a great word. That's exactly how I felt. And I cried. I cried all the way to the airport. I remember sitting in the airport, crying, waiting for, you know, there's, you know, you and your dad live, both of you off there looking for duty free. And I'm sat there in a seat crying my eyes out, and I had numerous people coming to me, are you okay? And then on the aircraft, it's a 3 hour flight, for 3 hour drive home, I cried for. With Hunter, I had the full airport experience that I had to cry through, a full 10 hour flight or whatever it was I had to cry through, and I just couldn't stop. And then the worst part as well, not just that, but then I literally remember in those first few days, I was going shopping. Now my shopping experiences are obviously to buy things for the family, but a big part of that is like, I like buying treats for you all. And I found myself going down aisles and thinking, oh, I can't, there's no point coming down this aisle anymore.
I remember you coming home and being like, I cried in the biscuit aisle today. Do you remember? But do you not think as well that like a lot of that was because he was the youngest?
Definitely.
So it was like a bit of a reality check of like, your kids have grown up now.
And yeah, I felt that my purpose had been taken away. My purpose for, you know, since having you, so 27 years, yeah, was looking after these amazing, incredible little humans that I had. And then now suddenly my purpose had just come to an end.
Well, if you look at it logically, you'd think that, and some people said to me, you know, because I didn't cry. Cause, and you're missing out. There's a 3 hour journey to the airport as well. So, and then,
Harsh, did you not cry?
What?
Did you not?
No, I don't think I did, but I was so upset.
Up.
So many days there, you know, obviously, such, just upset about the whole thing. But logically, you would think that, well, Liv's gone to university, right? We went through that situation. We've got used to it. Mm. We're ready for it. So it should be easier. It's a logical approach.
Yeah. But that's why I think.
But it was worse.
I think it's because.
It's my baby.
You still, exactly. So you still had, even when I went, she still had someone to be the mother hen to, right?
Yes.
To still like kind of have to do those things for.
Yeah.
But then when Hunter went, and obviously she'd already accepted that I do things for myself anyway, because I'd been to uni and I'd done that. So she could let me just carry on doing things myself because she still had Hunter to look after.
Exactly.
And I actually remember that when Hunter went to uni, you started saying to Dad like, oh, let's let the cats sleep on our bed.
I did.
And it was like, let's look after the cats because like they need a mum now. Do you know what I mean?
That role. Absolutely right with that. I mean, obviously it just finished its first year and I found it very, very hard not having him at home. You know, but I didn't cry in the biscuit aisle, I've got to say.
So it did affect me. I'll be honest, even knowing like that Hunters are going to be going back to uni again shortly, it has already started. That kind of feeling, oh my gosh, my baby's going to be abandoning me, and I've loved having him home.
But do you not think as well, like, it's that role, isn't it, that, like, you know, we've said before that you always wanted to take on that parenting as a real commitment. You didn't just want to be a parent and then just that's it. You wanted to be a full-on parent. You want to take on the commitment and do it all right. And it's like now such a big role in your life has gone.
Yes.
And I think when we talk about like abandonment or people feeling abandoned, that is usually the case in any sense, that it's something that was such a huge part of your life suddenly goes.
Yeah, like a relationship, for example.
Totally. And that can be the thing, isn't it? It can be like, I mean, I remember I was in like a 3-year relationship that I was with someone that I used to spend a hell of a lot of time with. And then it's like, oh, what do I do now? And even though, you know, I made the decision that I didn't want to be in that relationship anymore. So logically you'd think, well, you shouldn't feel any negativity about it because you made the decision that you don't want to be in it, right? So it was my choice. But then even then I remember feeling like, oh, well, who do I do this with now? Or who do I, because you've created that role and then it goes. And it's like, even though I didn't want to be in the situation, there was an emptiness of the role, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I worked with that person and I spent so much time with that person that it suddenly felt weird, if that makes sense.
But the best advice that, and this is something that we often say to people who have been in a long-term relationship and then it comes to an end and they feel like either that their partner abandoned them or that they're now suddenly all alone, and they feel very forlorn by that prospect. And the thing that we always say to them is, look, ask yourself the question, before you met that person, realize how that, you know, that big chunk of life that you lived so perfectly well before you ever met them, and you managed and you coped exceptionally well, and you will again. And I think that's a really important thing.
And do you not think abandoned is rather an exaggerated word as such?
But I think that's how you can feel when, particularly if it's not your choice. You know, if it's not your, imagine, you know.
Yeah, but ultimately, but you're saying you feel abandoned when Hunter went to university, but, you know, for his whole childhood, he was heading towards going studying medicine in America. We had years to prepare for it. You know, that's what he wanted to do. That's what we wanted for him.
But you push
it away.
So
how can we be abandoned?
But that's the same with like grief though, isn't it? Right. We always have this idea that like, if we expect it, we can prepare ourselves for it. So then we don't feel abandoned when that person passes. But then we've been in the situation where we had Nan, who we knew, you know, we had a long time to prepare, but it still didn't really make it easier when it happened, right? Mm. So even if you are preparing for a situation of, say, abandonment, it doesn't necessarily make it easier because you still can't anticipate how you'll feel. And it's like, I knew that I wanted to end my relationship. So you could argue that I could have prepared for that, but I still didn't anticipate how I would feel when I did it. So it's that thing of, yes, you can prepare to an extent. Yes, you could prepare that he was going to be going, but you didn't know how you'd feel once he'd gone.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it hard, because until you're in the situation, you can't predict how you'll feel.
I understand that. But one thing straight away that we can do to make it feel a bit better is find a better word, right? And find the more appropriate word.
Yeah.
Because as you know, I'll tell you about, yeah, I had the best parents on the planet and they're amazing. And yet I felt abandoned by my dad, which is the most ridiculous thing, and which I'll let's share with you. So I remember being at home with them. I love being at home with my parents. And then I suddenly, out of the blue, got told, all right, in 2 weeks, you're going to go to school. And I'm like, well, what's that all about? Because I didn't know anything about it. And they were telling me, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really fancy that, to be honest. But anyway, so it got to the day, and my dad said, right, you know, you're going to school today, and he's taking me to school. And I could see other parents and other kids. And I thought, yeah, I don't fancy any of this. I just want to go back home. And I remember getting to the school and he was saying, right, okay. And I started crying. I said, Dad, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to go in. And he said, look, just give it 10 minutes. Just go in, give it 10 minutes, see how you go. And he said, if you don't like it, I'll take you home. Well, I went in. I made my mind up. I didn't like it. The 10 minutes went and he wasn't there. I've been abandoned. So in that moment, that's exactly how I felt. Did I get abandoned? Absolutely not. Picked me up from school and I went to school from there. But in that moment, it created this abandonment in me. And it was only later on in life that I realised that how ridiculous that was. But that did affect some other aspects of my life because I created that when I was 5 years of age.
As a parent, you feel this immense sort of sadness and this sort of feeling of emptiness. And I think that's what we're saying, really. It's a feeling of emptiness because whether it's a relationship that ends, whether it's somebody that passes away, then, you know, you've suddenly got this time, you know, where, you know, you're not filling that time as you would have with that person or whatever.
Or your parents getting another child. Yeah. It's the same thing, you know, if you're the only child and then suddenly a new one comes along.
How dare they?
You know, it's like, well, am I not good enough? Yeah. And then they spend more time with this new child because it can't do anything. So you feel, well, hold on a minute, suddenly I'm not good enough, they don't want me. And you can feel abandoned.
I remember
in that
dropping
situation.
You guys off, like when you first started school, nursery, particularly when you were younger, and I felt so
what,
bad.
As opposed to when you dropped us off at nursery when we were older?
Yeah.
Particularly when you were younger.
Well, you do like calling in, so.
Yeah, well, you know, go on, sorry, Karen, what you're saying.
But I remember as a parent feeling so bad that I felt guilty, which is ridiculous because obviously, again, it's for your own good and it helps to sort of develop you as human beings. But do you remember either of you your first days at school and how you felt? Any memories?
No, I remember being at nursery and being very upset that you left me there and not fully understanding why and just being very upset about that whole thing.
Yeah, I hated that because you really didn't, because you'd been, obviously, you didn't go to nursery till quite late, whereas Liv went from being
I was going to say, that might explain it then, because I have absolutely no memory of that whatsoever. So I'm shocked that you said you remember that. But if you were older than me, then that would make more sense.
So you started going at a very young age, like because I had to go back to work, whereas with Hunter, he didn't go till like he had cognition. He knew what was going on. And
he had cognition.
He had cognition.
As opposed to me, who was cognitionless.
Yeah, no idea. But I remember.
Clueless.
Sometimes dropping you off at nursery and you crying and me going back to the car, and I was crying in the car because I dropped you off, and it was only and I'd done that many, many times, and then one of the nursery nurses said, just don't just go and get in your car, just hang about and then look through the window, which is what I did, because she said within a couple of minutes she's fine, and I'm like, no, she can't, look, she's screaming her head off, she don't want to stay here. She said, I promise she's fine. So I remember waiting 2 minutes looking through the window, you're there, yeah, playing with everybody, and there's me being upset all this time. Yeah. And just got on with it.
Well, I obviously wasn't that upset. Yeah. I don't remember it, but I think I think that's really normal though.
Yeah,
like I've had friends, you know, a friend of mine who's had a baby a couple of years ago, and I remember her saying about taking her daughter to nursery for the first time, and she messaged me and said, Liv, I'm like distraught, I feel so guilty. Yeah. I feel like an awful parent. And I think that is quite a normal thing, isn't it, to go through, and just to appreciate that, you know, there is a bigger picture, because actually it's a great thing.
Yeah.
And also as well, I think that, you know, communication, I understand that if it's dealt with badly, like in your case, obviously granddad thinking he was doing the best thing, kind of being like, oh, you can go in 10 minutes if you don't like it. And I can so see his perspective there, because you can so see
I can still hear him saying it to me. Yeah.
And then he'll forget about it.
Yeah, but your dad's dead smart, and your dad would never let go.
I bet he was clock watching. Yeah, I bet he was. 9 minutes, one more to go.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. But it's funny, because when I think about like you two, whenever I felt I've abandoned you guys, then yes, definitely nursery. I remember it was really traumatic with you, Hunter, for us even, and yourself, Liv. But I think when we felt like we abandoned you, it's probably later on in life, really, when you were both a bit bigger. And that was the first time, I don't know if you remember, and I don't remember how old you were, but we were going working on a project filming in America. And because of school, it just was not practical to take you guys with us, because obviously anything else that we ever do out there, we're always like, it's got to be in school holidays so that you guys could be with us, because I couldn't bear to be apart from you. And so the first time was when we went to LA to film, and we left you both at home. But yet you guys weren't bothered about that, were you?
No,
okay,
I think
Hunter, very enthusiastic. No,
the only thing I remember from that was you leaving us gifts along the way to keep us looking forward to. Do you know what I mean? Like,
to keep us happy. I've forgotten
that. Every hour.
There.
No, it wasn't every hour.
Was
every I remember.
That was
do you remember that?
Remember.
No.
Oh my gosh.
I remember you making a lasagna and putting it in the freezer and being like, oh, there's a lasagna in the freezer. That's all I genuinely remember. You like, I'm going to make some food and put it in the freezer. So Hunter remembers the gifts. I remember the food.
I do remember.
I just remember being distraught having left you, but yeah. You're more bothered about lasagna than us.
I do remember.
It was a good lasagna.
What kind of like Wii games and stuff.
Yeah, because I remember before we went, I do remember packing things because Carla, our friend from LA, actually came to stay with at our house to look after you both.
Oh, we had a ball. Honestly, we had, I think as well, right, we were at an age where we kind of had a load of fun together. Like at that age, I feel like, I don't know whether you agree with this, but I feel like we were, I mean, how old were we'd been? Was it?
I was five.
Okay, so
2013.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think it was 2010, so that would make sense. Yeah, so yeah, so I think at that age we just used to mess about and like we had so much fun that we just, it was great to have no parents for like a few weeks whilst we like just messed about and just did fun stuff. Thanks. Like I don't think we really cared at that point.
But I do remember the gifts, Hunter, and I'd totally forgotten about that until you just said. But I do remember packing these gifts and putting dates on them and saying to Carl, give them this on this day, give them this on this day, expecting you to be really missing me. So I kind of did these gifts for my benefit, really, to make me feel better, like it was a connection that you had from mum.
Yeah.
And neither of you, you don't even bloody remember.
I remember the lasagna. No, I don't remember that.
And then the second time I felt like I didn't feel like we abandoned you per se, but the second time we left you for any significant period was, and we didn't know how long that would be, of course, was when we went on Celebrity Hunted. Because I know you were both quite grown up there.
See, again, I think the age makes the difference because, again, we were old enough to understand. Because when you went to America as well the first time, obviously, we wanted Carla to come and stay with us because, like, we were so excited that she was going to look after us because she's.
Well, I do remember saying to you both that, you know, mum and dad have got to go to America and we're going to be away for about a week. And who do you want to come and move in with you?
It ended up being longer than a week because there was an ash cloud and all that sort of stuff.
Icelandic ash cloud.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to you both, you can have anybody you want. Whoever you want me to ask, I will ask them to move in and look after you. Didn't expect you to say our friend in LA, so we had to fly her over to England to be able to look after you. That was a big ask.
But that was exciting in itself. So we got some time with her and we had a good time. So that was great. And I think when you did Hunted as well, it was such an exciting thing to work on. Like, so we enjoyed it.
I was 18 or 17 or 18 at the time, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
And I do remember we had some fun with it as well. And like, I do remember like we did a lot of stuff together like while she were gone. And I do remember we went to that like garden center. Yeah. We were sat in the garden center and we were eating these like breakfast sandwiches. And then there was like a helicopter overhead and I was like, Hunter, imagine if that's them. And he was like, do you really think they're going to air us on TV just sat here at a garden center eating bacon sandwiches or whatever it was? I was like, yeah, probably not. But it was, no, we had a good laugh. Like it was good. So I think we were old enough in both those circumstances. Yeah.
What I think was really nice about that was that obviously I didn't need to get anybody to look after you because you were both grown-ups, but equally you'd never had to manage the house on your own. And it was, from our perspective, I thought it was a really good thing because it allowed you know, I think as parents, you think that you're abandoning your kids, but actually whether it be at school, whether it be a nursery, or whether like on this occasion, you were both grown up, of course, but we were going away and leaving you in charge of the house. It does teach you responsibility, doesn't it?
Later in my life, I've gained so much more independence and life knowledge because of that, especially going to the US, obviously, has changed me so much. But even doing that, just being responsible for going out, getting food and cooking everything.
Yeah, and we had a good system, didn't we? So like considered all like the cooking and like that side of things, and I looked after the animals and did like the animal care side of things. So between us, we had like our responsibilities that we did between us, and you know, it all worked. And then I remember when Ed Gamble and James Acaster came around to our house and we were hiding them, and I remember we'd like planned to like clean the house, didn't we, before they came, because we knew that you'd want it clean and like it had to be right. And we'd like decided between us like 50-50 what jobs we were gonna do like on the cleaning side of things. And then I ended up with flu, didn't I? And so I couldn't do anything. I felt so bad. And Hunter was there like domestic goddess, like cleaning the entire house. I mean,
I don't remember you doing any cleaning.
No, I didn't. I mean, I was really poor. Like, I was genuinely poorly. I wasn't trying to get out of it.
It sounded like you do today, Hunter, with your
basically sore throat. Like he was. And I remember just sat there drinking Lem Sips. And I remember like Hunter, I mean, I think I just barely looked after the animals because I was like really poorly. And he was like cleaning the entire house, like spring cleaning everything. But yeah, no, so I think both those circumstances were.
I think another, talking about abandonment though, where, and things that we hear a lot about in therapy, is people who feel abandoned by a parent, whether that be because their parents split up, whether that be because one passed away when they were very young, or even where they might have been given for adoption. And
another one to add into that I've heard a lot in therapy is parents with mental health issues. So like they're not able to look after their children because they, so for example, I'm just thinking of a case of someone who their mum was an alcoholic and therefore would spend sort of a lot of time drinking, not able to look after the children. Mm. And then children felt that they were abandoned because they felt that they weren't good enough to deserve care, not realizing as a young person that mum was struggling and had her own problems. So I think as well, like you said, it can be, you know, that they're physically not there, or it can be that they're there, but they're not there as in a care sense because they're struggling themselves.
I think what's very sad for me, and Sean, that you'll back me up on this, is that when there's been a parental divorce, there and obviously this depends on how old the child is. The younger the child, the more the child will take responsibility for that due to lack of understanding, won't they?
Yeah, so I can't tell you the amount of people that have said to me, my dad left me.
Mm.
And it's amazing when, you know, I always go back with, who did he leave?
Yeah.
And they go, me. I go, no, who was he in a relationship with? Who did he leave? And when someone goes, oh, yeah, I actually left my mum. And, you know, if a relationship isn't working, then it's not the relationship with the child that's not working, because it's the relationship with the person that they were with. And when someone restructures that and realizes that actually the dad or the mum left their partner, not them, you know, and sometimes in those relationships, you know, the dad might have left the mum because it wasn't a great relationship, didn't abandon the child, but then the mum won't let the child see the dad. So, you know, it escalates from there. So I think it's always worth looking, if you feel that way, if you feel that you've been abandoned, re-looking at that situation and going, okay, what actually happened? What are the facts? And even when you get the facts, then saying, how could I look at these in a better way? Because it's not a great thing going through life feeling abandoned, because it can really affect your self-esteem.
It can affect your self-esteem. And I know that what I often say to people is, you know, ask yourself the question, you know, did that, the parent that left, did they go, oh, well, you know, I'd stay with you, dear partner, but oh, because of the child,
yeah,
I'm doing
up.
One. And that never happens. Mm. And unfortunately, as you know, as adults, if relationships don't work, then, you know, they can't force it and someone does have to leave. But it's important that if that's, like Nick said, if that was you, to consider that, you know, that parent didn't actually leave you. They left whoever they were sharing their life with.
And that's the same again in the circumstance I gave, that, you know, if you feel like you didn't get enough care from a parent because of the fact that, you know, parents were struggling with their own things as a child, that can make you feel that you're not good enough or that you weren't loved enough because your parent couldn't give you that time and care. Whereas now as an adult looking at that and realizing that actually that parent was struggling to get by themselves and that they were dealing with their own things and
probably doing their best.
Oh, absolutely.
Under those
circumstances. But you don't see, I think as a child, you just compare that to other people and see like, oh, so-and-so's parents are so attentive of them and my parents aren't. And often that can, you can take that on and feel abandoned in yourself because you think that maybe you weren't good enough, in the same way as what you were saying with the parent leaving. Yeah. And I think realizing that that parent wasn't going, okay, well, I don't really like that child, so I'm not going to bother making an effort with them. Actually, that parent was struggling and trying to do their best, but didn't do the best job because they were in a bad place themselves.
That parent isn't off partying and having a great time. You know, that parent might be absolutely riddled with guilt because they didn't stay in a unhappy relationship for the child.
And but you don't see all that, do you, as a kid?
No, you just see
your perspective, understandably, without the knowledge of the world of an adult.
And it can be quite difficult for the parent that walks away. You know, they're, you know, the child just assumes they've gone off and had this great life, but we don't, you know, the likelihood is that they do have a huge element of guilt. And sometimes, because I know that when it's been, that has happened for some children, the parent that left may not come back very often, if at all. And that could be perhaps because the pain that they feel, or they don't want to disrupt your world as a child. They sort of think, do you know what, if I just keep away, it'll give more stability to my little one. And again, I think another area that we hear this, where I was abandoned and it goes on to have low self-esteem in people, it is when they've, if they were given up for adoption. And, you know, and I know my mum, her dad left and her stepfather adopted her. And, you know, what I always sort of say to people who are under those circumstances to consider, you know, that actually they were incredibly loved because the biological parent loved them that much that they said, or were cared, that they sort of said, I'm going to have to make this sacrifice because I know that my child deserves better and a more stable upbringing.
Yeah, than what I can provide.
Yeah. And then the adoptive parent, like, gosh, were you ever wanted? And, you know, I mean, they couldn't highlight that anymore. And I know it's a difficult situation, but it's like Nick said, I think it's about restructuring our perception.
I think a big restructuring of people that I've spoken to who have been adopted and said, well, you know, I was given up. I obviously wasn't wanted. Actually making them realise, you're saying, well, actually, your mum did not have to have you, but decided to have you under whatever circumstances and look after you for 9 months to make sure that you were born, to make sure that you could go on and have a life with another family. And who knows what she went through in that period of time.
And also as well, if you've been adopted, then, you know, you mentioned there about how an adopted parent, but like how special is that to be actually chosen, right? Like,
absolutely.
You know, like when people just give birth and they have a baby, they don't necessarily choose the child.
Whereas if you're adopted,
Well, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But if you're adopted,
there's no exchange. You can't swap, can you?
But do you know what I'm saying though? Like if you've been adopted and you've been chosen, and someone wants you to
so
be
badly.
Their child,
yeah,
despite the fact that, you know, you're not their biological child, but they want you as their child. It's so special.
It is such an amazing thing.
So I think that as well, when people are adopted, they don't see. And another instance as well, just because you mentioned before about you guys working away, and I think that's another one as well, when people can feel abandoned, as if they've got parents that work away, or, you know, spend a lot of time at work, for example.
Or if a child has to go to boarding school because of those reasons, for example.
Yeah. And again, is, you know, looking at that as an adult now and reframing that and realizing that actually, why did they do that? Because they wanted to be able to provide for you and to look after you because you were so important. You know, and I think that that's a really big one, that sometimes parents feel guilt for that they were, you know, having to go out to work. But how amazing that, you know, the most important thing to them was providing a life for that child.
Of course, we've worked with so many people who, because the parents did work away and because they wanted the best for the children, they did put them in boarding school, and, you know, and some have had real issues in that school and blamed the parents for putting them in there. But it wasn't the parents. If the parents knew they were going to have issues in that school, they definitely wouldn't put them in there.
No, the intention will have been very positive. So before we start collating our handbook to happiness tips, have you two ever felt a feeling of abandonment at all?
I think, just like I said before, really, like going to school early on.
Yeah.
That's the biggest time, really.
But you always knew that we were coming back for you, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I just felt it when I was a child. I mean, obviously now looking back, I know it wasn't rational and it didn't make sense.
And I think, again, a good way to restructure that is to look at, which is what I did with my parents, is that, you know, my dad took me to school because he had to. You know, it was the law. Your kids go to school, so... you know, as far as I know, I never asked him the question, actually, but my dad may have wanted me at home all the time, but he had to take me to school. And obviously, you know, it's better for development of children anyway, going to school. So he had to do it. So it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his choice. And he certainly didn't abandon me.
And I think that's a good point about choice, because I think in a lot of cases of abandonment, we see it as someone's choice when actually it wasn't a choice.
Yeah.
So, you know, we often feel that that person kind of left. And not always is it the case that they wanted to leave. It might be that they had to go. It might be that they had to go to work.
It might be that they had to leave a partner.
It might be that, you know, they needed to, whatever the circumstances, they didn't feel capable of looking after you and they wanted you to have a better life, whatever. But my point being is that we often assume that it was a choice and we weren't good enough. And that's why that choice was made. And actually, when you look into it as an adult, maybe there wasn't a choice.
Or maybe there was something else going on. It was never about you. Depending on what the circumstances are. And I know that adults now who were children when a parent passed away, under whatever circumstances, they sort of felt abandoned. But, you know, they either didn't have the choice for that to happen, or, you know, they just were backed into a corner and felt that it was, that you'd be better without them or whatever.
Or sometimes, I suppose, as well, with grief, like, obviously, if you felt abandoned from a young age because your parents passed away, and obviously, you know, that's out of their hands and not a choice. I think sometimes I've heard that people can feel that way if their parents, for example, took their own life, or they were an addict.
That's what kind of what I was alluding to.
Yeah, or if they were an addict or something, like, you know, they had a mental health struggle. But again, realizing that actually that wasn't a choice. They didn't actively want to leave you. And I think that's the really key thing.
Yes, I think that, you know, put that very well.
Yeah, that often, you know, in the same sense, the choice was taken out of their hands because they were struggling with an illness. And I think that's another thing just to bear in mind as well.
Definitely.
I think the whole thing, you know, we keep going back to is restructuring this and seeing it for what it is, which is that it wasn't ever about you personally, but the wider circumstances that we don't see at the time.
Yeah, definitely. So points for our... feeling abandoned or left page on our handbook to happiness.
I'm just saying something to the choice because, you know, so I think a lot of these things aren't a choice. But I do know, actually, I was reading a few years ago that the singer Rihanna, she made a choice to turn her back and abandon the Catholic religion. Do you know that?
Is this real?
It is, because she found love in a popeless place.
Oh, dear me. Oh, dear me.
It's true.
Worse than my illness.
I'm also just going to say, by the way, because I'm going to just, whilst we're talking about Hunter and going to uni and stuff, that I know you did a TikTok video. If anyone doesn't follow us on TikTok, and obviously you've got a TikTok channel, The Speakmans, and I'm Liv Speakman. Hunter's not yet on TikTok, but on our TikTok channels, we obviously put a lot of helpful tips and advice. So if anyone's listening and wants to check those out, there's loads of helpful tips and things on there. But I know that you did a video about empty nest syndrome when Hunter went to university, just on this abandonment topic. And I know a lot of people said, well, not a lot, actually, 99% of people were so lovely, but there was like a 1% of people that was like, you shouldn't be making your son feel guilty for making you feel abandoned. And so I just wanted to just touch on that, because obviously we started this episode with Hunter saying that, you know, he didn't realize he made you feel that way. And I want to make it clear that Hunter doesn't feel at all guilty for that, because he knows that, you know, look, we have a very open communication in our household, and we all know that of the choice of Hunter going to university or him and you feeling abandoned, or him not going and you not feeling abandoned, every single time you would choose for him to go.
Oh, 100%. I mean, had he not gone out of choice, I would have pushed him, I would have taken him, I would have dropped
him
off.
Absolutely. And I just want to make that clear that obviously you do feel that way, but there's no blame, because...
Not at all.
Actually,
at all.
It's everything you ever wanted, right?
Like, you always... Absolutely proud. Proud.
And from the get-go, what did you ever want for us, right? Yeah. You always wanted us to follow our dreams. You always wanted us to do, you know... And that's the other thing. If there's anyone on the other side of this that feels guilty because they have, you know, made someone else feel abandoned, to know that, you know, ultimately, when you love someone, you want them to pursue their dreams. You wanted me to go to Oxford because that was my dream, and you wanted Hunter to go to America because that was his dream. That was a side effect, but you'd still always go through it. And in the same way with grief, you know, yes, it sucks, but you'd rather have met that person and had that time and that life. And even with relationships, like every relationship teaches you something, right? It might not have worked out, but you probably took loads from it as well. So, you know, we experienced the pain, but you wouldn't have any pain if there wasn't love there in the first place.
I normally go last on this, but in the handbook to happiness, my point above and beyond what you just said there, Liv, is that, you know, if you have a child that's gone to university, is to appreciate that that is actually what you've been preparing them for, and to be super proud of them, and just be really grateful that you've got this great little human. I also think that changing your approach, and because what I had to do was, from being a full-time mum, I was thinking, oh right, okay, so now I'm gonna have to do some things to me. So I've sort of started doing more yoga and Pilates and going out on my bike and whatever. So this, it's sort of using that time for yourself, so do stuff for yourself as well. Anything that you'd like to add?
Something
to our handbook
would be realizing that they're not leaving you. Like, I didn't go and do that because of you and I wanted to leave you. It was nothing to do with that. It was just me going out there.
And that's such a good point, because I suppose that's why you don't feel guilty, and why mum is so happy about it, even though she's upset, is because we all have the same understanding that actually, you know, that's, you didn't do that to go, I'm gonna leave. It's a massive compliment that you feel able, and that you've built a human that can that is able to do that on his own. So you're absolutely spot on. It's such a good point.
Any more over this side of the table tips before I hand over to your dad?
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking thinking he's probably going to tell another joke if you do that. But yeah, so I think that...
I'm thinking of one right now.
I know you are. I know. I knew what was happening. Because as soon as she said before I hand over to your dad, I could see the cogs turning, like, think of a joke. No, I think just the one thing that I just want to sort of end on is that you're absolutely spot on. It's about reframing and looking for a better perspective in that whole thing. And I think my two big points would be, A, not to use the phrase abandoned, because it does feel so awful and our terminology massively impacts the way we feel. And a little bit of science corner on that one, which is the fact that, you know, we know research shows that we are massively impacted by the words we use, the terminology, and just the connotations that come with that. And if we accept that we have been abandoned or feel abandoned, we will look out for more evidence of that, which is going to make us feel crappy. So I think being able to use a better terminology. So, you know, I mean, we've given loads of examples there. But, you know, my relationship ended rather than I was broken up with, or I was abandoned, or, you know, I don't know.
My dad left my mum, not my dad left me.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah. And, you know, or I was adopted by an amazing family rather than I was given up for adoption.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to change those things, because both are technically true, but it's which way you want to look at it.
Absolutely.
And understanding. So then that comes to my second thing, which is sort of looking for the positives in a situation. And, you know, the best advice for someone who, even if you were in a relationship and you got broken up with, rather than it being your choice, but in either sense, is looking at what is the positives in this situation. So if it's a breakup, you know, what is a positive of being out of this relationship? What weren't you happy with? Even if, like I said, you know, I spoke to someone recently who was going through a breakup and said to her that, you know, it wasn't her choice. But I said to her, look at actually what wouldn't have worked in that relationship. Look at what you can now do being out of it. So look for the positives, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
And even in the worst case scenario, look for the positives of, you know, even if you did feel that you were abandoned in certain aspects, that it's made you more independent, it's allowed you to grow. So trying to look for the positives in that situation, you know, if it's grief, like all the amazing memories you spent with that person, and what would they want for you? They wouldn't want you to be stuck here grieving, they'd want you to grow and flourish. And, you know, in Hunter's sense, going to university, or in your sense and experiencing that, is how amazing are you that you've created someone that is that strong and able to go to university? What did you always want for them in the first place? So I think looking for the positives and reframing that perspective is massively helpful.
Nick, anything?
You pinched everything I was going to say there.
Sorry.
You know, but yeah, I think reframing the word itself, because I think abandoned is an over-exaggerated word. And we're talking about relationships.
Well, if I tell you what abandoned means, I've got an Oxford Dictionary
just
definition.
Just one second. We're talking about relationships. One thing that you didn't say there, with everything else, it was really good, because I was going to say that. But didn't say is that, look, if someone leaves a relationship and you feel abandoned, well, the fact is, right, I don't think there's a relationship on the planet where one person is blissfully happy and the other one is miserable. It just doesn't work, right? Yeah. You know, so ultimately, if one person leaves, you both got to feel that tension. Both got to feel that it's not working, right? So it is the best thing for that relationship to split up. So again, looking at the positives, that's important. But changing the word abandoned, it's a bit like, I had a friend who was out walking and came across this abandoned mine. You see, I'd rather call it a disused mine, but it was an abandoned mine, and he actually fell down it. Fortunately, though, he only had minor injuries.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you have to blame for that one, though.
Because of you.
Do you know what it is? He was like, I took his point that he was going to say, so he thought, I'll just fill in the gap with a joke instead.
Yeah.
But I also think your point was really good, by the way, about... Sort of... No, but like another thing we said about is a void that you often get left with when you feel abandoned.
Exactly, because, which is going to be my little thing.
Yeah, well, I'll let you pick up on that then. But I was just going to say that... No, but it's what you were saying before. I thought it was a really, really good point, is finding other ways to fill that void, because... That feeling of abandonment often does come from, well, what do I do now?
And it is that emptiness. That's what feels,
yes, emptiness,
you know, it's
is a good
word. Emptiness we feel when somebody leaves us under whatever circumstances, or we feel after, it is that emptiness. And so we need to, you know, fill that void with something else. And the Oxford Dictionary definition, incidentally, is left and no longer wanted, used or needed. You're always wanted. And if it wasn't by that person, then it's going to be somebody else.
So true.
And you're very wanted by us, because we really appreciate the fact that, you know, you're here today, either watching us on YouTube or listening to our podcast. And we hope that, you know, things that we say make a difference to you and to the people around you, because obviously if you pick up anything that you've heard today, you might be able to help somebody else. So on that note of help, if you are enjoying our podcast, we would be so incredibly grateful of a 5-star review or a follow or a nice little sort of comment about our podcast. We'd very much appreciate that. If you've got any questions, obviously, please do fire them over on YouTube. You can comment or you can send an email to our office, admin@speakman.tv. And just a huge thank you for listening to us today. We hope that our little episode here and having a chat about abandonment and being left has given you a far more positive perspective to help you to feel happier. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us. Wherever you're listening to this podcast today, do be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and we'd be incredibly grateful of a 5-star review.
Oh, and don't forget to recommend our podcast to your family and friends.
And if you'd like to have a look at some more free resources, take a look at our website, nickandeva.com.
If you want to drop us a question, we'd love to hear from you. Send it to admin@speakman.tv.
And you can follow us. We're at The Speakmans on all social media platforms. On YouTube, we're Handbook to Happiness Pod. If you are struggling, do be sure to speak to your general practitioner. And all that's left to say is that we appreciate you spending time with us today.